Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What about you, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio? I hope you're having a great day. Huh? Sun is shining. Hoop season done. Olympics underway. Football training camp starting now. Really next Monday, everybody's back in shells. And it appears, with a couple of missteps, we've made it. I know the numbers aren't good. Some places you have to wear masks, and two offensive line coaches have been fired because they don't want to get vaccinated. But for the most part, it does feel like we've made it. We got a lot to get to. The Indians are now the Guardians. Huh. Okay. Michael Thomas going to miss 4 months. Huh. Okay. And Greg Schiano is probably going to join us this hour. Possibly, maybe, not sure. We got a bunch to get to. Let me start with this, though. Everybody who is in the Big 12 as an alum or as a fan or as a player, they like to make fun of Texas. Texas has the biggest budget of any university in the country for their sports programs, and yet has not seen success. Mack Brown's last 3 years has not really seen success in over a decade in college football. Not what Texas had grown used to when Mack was there. The basketball program is building a new arena, and they just spent a ton of money to go get Chris Beard and bring him back to his alma mater, and he hired an all-star team of coaches. All that said, Texas, with all their money and all their dominance, and really it's the best city, not close in the Big 12, they haven't won much recently. That said, when they say, hey, we're going to explore going to another conference, I got to say, titanic or tectonic shift, if you will, in the college sports landscape, right? Like, of the biggies, Texas probably only, Notre Dame is in that conversation, Ohio State, maybe Michigan. And I know you're like, well, Michigan can't beat Ohio State. I'm talking about popularity of overall sports programs, most importantly, football and basketball. Brian Davis covers UT for the Austin American Statesman. This story was originally broken by the Houston Chronicle. And Brian, you tell me, like, you cover UT athletics. Their ability to work this thing for 6 months before it leaked out there, I think that might be the most surprising part of the entire story.
That's exactly right. I mean, getting all these guys to keep their mouths shut and rowing in the same direction for once, quite honestly, is an achievement in and of itself, because Texas historically has sabotaged itself with too many cooks in the kitchen, if you will. But I will say, Chris Del Conte, the current athletic director, he really has done a very good job of keeping the wolves at bay, so to speak, where they can kind of run a much tighter shop.
Okay, so, I guess, is the only answer money, or is there something else that's bothering Texas that makes them want to leave the conference?
Well, the way it's been explained to me by high-level Texas sources is that this all started when conversations began over the extension of the grant of rights. The league ADs had a presentation with network executives, I believe it was in March, and at that time, the ESPNs and the Foxes of the world told them, hey, we're not interested in renegotiating or lengthening your deals. We're going to sit tight and see what happens. And that didn't sit well with Texas or Oklahoma. And again, the way it's been explained to me, I know a lot of people are arguing on Twitter over the timeline of all this, but some people who are very high in the system here have told us that that's what really precipitated. Okay, let's be real about this. What else is out there? Going to the SEC is something that Chris Del Conte has long sort of dreamed about because he wants that A&M game back on the schedule, right? And so that's the only move that Texas and Oklahoma have, is if you're going to go somewhere, it has to be to the premier athletic conference in America.
It couldn't be the Big Ten. I mean, isn't it? I mean, if they go to the Big Ten, it makes the Big Ten the, or is it the Olympic sports? It's just too much travel.
I think it's literally just, I think it's literally boils down to, it's just where can we get the most money, and that's football, and that's the UCC. I mean, you know, there was a time 10 years ago where, you know, Texas was in the Pac-12 for one night, and then people woke up and DeLoss Dodds woke up and said, hey, I don't know if this is such a great idea. At that time, it was thought, well, you know, Texas wants to align itself with other like-minded academic schools.
Sure.
But I think enough time has passed where I believe the SEC has four schools that are in the AAU, and Texas would be the fifth.
Yeah, no, it's the whole thing is interesting. Okay, you mentioned the A&M game. If you go to 16, do they go to quadrants? Do they go to 8-8 and you play everybody in your 8? Because if they go to quadrants, I wonder if A&M's in that. Is it, you know, A&M, Arkansas, UT, and what, LSU? Like, how does it look?
Well, I find it very hard to believe that Chris Del Conte and Jay Hartzell, the Texas president, would enter into this whole scenario if they didn't feel like getting an annual game against A&M was basically guaranteed. Now, whether that's in a pod system, a division format, I don't know. Personally, I think 16 teams, you divide them into four pods, and you start and you have like an NFL type of scheduling model, right? Rotating around, you know, the SEC North and South, whatever. But it's just
really hard, right? Like, what people outside of the SEC don't realize is Auburn. Yes, they play Alabama, but Auburn, Georgia is the oldest rivalry in the South. Like, you start dividing up, and you don't see these teams. And man, that's really hard. I get a lot of it, but as we've seen in the Big 12 with Missouri, like, you lose a 100-year rivalry with Kansas and Kansas State, it's never going to be the same, even if the check is larger that comes in from the conference.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Texas wants that A&M game back on their schedule because they don't like the current teams that come to War Memorial. Kansas, K-State, Iowa State, they don't like that. Because remember, the biggest game that Texas plays every year is in Dallas on a neutral field.
Yep, and they have and they continue to redo the stadium. Okay, best guess, what happens the rest of the league?
Whew, you know, I think there are some people, and I know that there are some people at UT that hope that the other eight teams are sort of dissolved into the other major conferences. That, you know, fingers crossed. You know, the other eight teams could just sit tight and force Texas and OU to play out the string, taking this all the way to the 24-25 season. But that's a long, long time for people to be having their knives drawn.
I mean, when it came out, and Dan Byer's been doing their updates, said, well, they'll wait to the end of the grant of rights. That's just, we don't want to write a check, right? This is all a negotiation now.
Right.
Is it done? Like, you and I were around for when it was done, they were going to the Pac-12. That was one night. Is this more done than that was done?
Well, that was definitely more done because they had already shaken on it, and DeLoss was having cigars with Larry Scott. So that, if we're not to that point yet, but I think that Greg Sankey, Joe Castiglione, Chris Del Conte, they definitely have each other on speed dial, and I think it's going to move along fairly quickly, probably next week.
Wow. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Any pushback, Texas, it becomes very political. Any pushback on leaving a Texas Tech behind, for example?
You know, I don't think so. But that said, the only person who's going to be able to stop this is going to be, you know, Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who had an incumbent governor running for re-election, who is suddenly going to piss off Texas A&M people, Tech people, Baylor people, and TCU people. And that's a lot of voters. I mean, I mean, if that is not taken into the calculus of this, I would be shocked.
No, it is. The one thing is, you know, the other schools are private schools. Can you imagine, though, if you're Texas Tech right now, you're Kirby Holcutt, like, wait, first you take my basketball coach, and now you're gonna take the league?
Like, taking the league, too.
Oh, that's A&M has to be pissed, right? They could not possibly be happy with this.
Well, some of my best, you know, A&M friends and sources, it's almost like they're trying to spin it at this point. Well, you know, I guess this could be good for us, blah, blah, blah. Look, any real Aggie has got to hate this. This was the whole point that they left the Big 12, was to get away from Big Brother. And now, boom, here it is, Texas, Oklahoma, kicking the door in, and it's like, oh, by the way, A&M, you know, deal with this.
Right, finally, and A&M's good, too, right? It took them this long. Right. They finally figured out that we got the right – this is classic A&M. They just can't – they can't do it. All right, what about Oklahoma? Will they have an Oklahoma State problem?
You know, I said absolutely, but Doug, what no one is really talking about, at least from as far as Oklahoma State's concerned, when I went back and was looking through articles, okay, how did this exactly unfold again, trying to give myself a refresher course, you know, Boone Pickens isn't around anymore. And that was an extremely large voice at the time to make sure that OSU wasn't left behind. New president, new AD, Oklahoma State has great name recognition, obviously, but do they have the power brokers in place, you know, to make sure they don't get left behind? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know the name of the region, but I believe the head lawyer, he was a regent for the University of Texas, was Boone Pickens' best friend, right? Like, they were dear, close friends, and that was and he was working on speed dial in terms of keeping him in the league last time. And when he's not there, I mean, this is going to be absolutely interesting. Hey, real quick, Sarkisian's first year, new quarterback, what's it look like for the Horns?
Well, I mean, you're right. New quarterback, no real proven threat at receiver. The line should be okay. No real superstar at linebacker, in my opinion. I mean, to me, this adds up to an 8-4 type of a season. Bijan Robinson, I think, is going to be a superstar. There's no question about that. And they have other good running backs behind him. But I just don't think they have enough weapons yet. And you touched on it at the top. You're exactly right. Texas has a football problem. They just won the Director's Cup, you know, so they're doing great everywhere else. But the biggest moneymaker has been stuck in a pool of averageness for a decade now that they just can't escape.
Yeah, and then their second biggest moneymaker is not a huge thing, but basketball, they opened that new arena, and we'll see if the makeover there. That makeover, I think, is going to work more quickly than football. Football is harder to rebuild and reconfigure. Great stuff as always, Brian. I'm sure you're super busy. We appreciate you taking some time.
You bet, no problem.
That's Brian Davis, covers Texas and UT Austin for the Austin American Statesman. Guardians? Okay, we're going to have a nickname discussion. And we may have Greg Schiano upcoming next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Ah, these people in Oklahoma are such buffoons. They're so bothered by it. You know, like, these are the same people that to this moment, they'll call Kevin Durant a cupcake and a turncoat. And how dare he leave Oklahoma City to go to the Golden State Warriors? And so what I said was on Twitter was, OU pulled off it was a KD move, right? You can't beat him, join him. So, you know, you have these people like, what? So what you're saying is it's an easier path to a championship. Like, no. I'm just making fun of the fact that the Oklahoma football is just as disloyal as any athlete who's ever left the Sooner State before. This is the problem is hypocrisy, right? That's the problem. Don't be a hypocrite. Right? Don't be a hypocrite. Well, no, listen. It's about money, so it makes it okay. No, it doesn't. That doesn't make it okay. Oklahoma football is making plenty of money. Now, look, if you want to say, and it's a good point that I think Brian Davis made, which is like, look, if you're Texas, and think about the schools that come into your building every year, right? Iowa State, Kansas State, you know, TCU, like, yeah. Or we could bring in A&M. We could bring in LSU. We could bring in Florida or Georgia. Now, it should be pointed out that that while you may, and I know they're bigger schools than the Kansas States of the world and the Iowa States of the world, like the SEC does have Vanderbilt, does have Kentucky, does have Missouri, does have, you know, there's some weak links there. All those the seven national championships they won, like, kind of go through it. It's kind of all the same teams. So they're bigger schools, there's no question. I would disagree with Brian Davis, who joined us from the Austin American Statement. I believe the Big Ten continues to remain as the crown jewel in college athletics, more so than the SEC, in terms of academic reputation, overall athletic reputation. I'm not challenging that the SEC isn't better in football. They're better. It's not really all that close. Just not. And the SEC is very good in baseball, which is important to Texas and some other sports. I would still say the Big Ten, because the Big Ten Network, the money they're making, you know, the SEC might make a little more, but it's a moot point. They're all big, powerful schools. Big, big, powerful schools. That stuff is crazy, though, because I always thought that college sports was about, you know, your rivalries and your rivalries in the proximity to your school more so than just can you get every last dollar. But it would be fair to point out that if you're Texas, you're like, look, when we got into the Big 12, we got in because there was Oklahoma, there was Nebraska, there was A&M. Now there's no Nebraska, no A&M, and Oklahoma's going to go with us, so why would we stay? It's a fair point. It's a fair point. Okay, so I have a question. Byer, what do you think of the Cleveland Guardians nickname?
I think it's going to take a little while to get used to. I thought that Spiders was going to be the runaway. I thought that they would just go back in their history because at one point they were the Cleveland Spiders. I understand that the Guardians nickname has some ties to the city, but I would be more excited if it were the Spiders than if it were the Guardians.
Okay, I have a question. This is an honest question. Mm-hmm. Why are Cleveland Indians? Why is that seen as a derogatory nickname?
Well, I think that there are Native Americans that feel that it doesn't necessarily honor who they are in their history. And would rather just not be used as a nickname or mascot, and feel that maybe those depictions are disrespectful to their history and culture and who they are.
Is it fair that the idea of the having sports teams named after Native Americans, Chiefs, Indians, Braves, is a depiction of a proud culture? Right, like if you listen to the Cleveland Indians on their Twitter site, right? They had that video out today, which talks about, you know, pride and guarding a city and toughness and all these things. Like, those are the virtues that I thought. Like, I when I hear Indians, I don't have a negative depiction of Native American people based upon a nickname, right? They're not. It's not making fun of a culture. It's one of pride and toughness and togetherness. Am I wrong? Do you have a different depiction?
I don't look at nicknames that way. I don't think it's accurate to say that we have learned a lot more about Native American culture thanks to the Cleveland Indians nickname.
That's true. But if we wipe sports clean of any Native American references, like, are we the better because of it? Does that
I don't think that sports plays that role in learning about those cultures. I don't think that it ever has.
Representing those cultures?
I don't necessarily.
Like, are people really offended? Like, really? I'm not talking about Twitter. Everybody's offended on Twitter. They're offended by everything. Yeah. But, like, and it's okay. Like, Native Americans are real people, and they're a real part of the history of our country, and there are many things that have been done to them which are done wrong. I will say, though, like, okay, so we take all Native American reference. Like, Chiefs is heads. If you go Indians, now we're going to take Chiefs, we're going to take Braves. What do you think? That is Chiefs or Braves, is that a negative depiction?
It doesn't offend me, but I'm not the one that was offended by it. Like, I don't want to say the target audience, but right. I mean it doesn't offend me, but I'm not the one that they're making the change for.
Right. I guess my question is like, okay, so if we take Indians because they weren't actually Indians, they were Native Americans, right? We were mislabeled by settlers early to be from India. Understood. Okay. Do we stop at Native Americans? Do we take out pirates? Pirates are not good people. Vikings raped and pillaged. Buccaneers are pirates. Where does it? And there are real pirates in this world.
Well, yes, but
there are real pirates. It's Somalian real pirates.
Yeah, I think that's a bit of a stretch. I don't think that there's a Viking community, that is somewhere in the United States that feels that Minnesota is not depicting who their culture are and who they are. I don't think that that's the case.
Okay. I'm just interested by it. I don't like Cleveland Guardians. I would like just Cleveland. Just be Cleveland. Why do you have to have a nickname? Like if we are, and I think this is a little bit what you're getting at, not only do we not necessarily need, any sort of ethnic depictions, like do we actually need nicknames? Have we gotten past the point that we need nicknames?
I like nicknames. I just, like spiders, I think to me was just so, it's so unique of Richmond, the Richmond Spiders, the only spiders that we know in sports. And now there are a lot of nicknames that are being used by, other, it's doubling up, tripling up. But the Spiders is just so rarely used that I thought it would be great for Cleveland to do. Now, I don't know any Guardians, and maybe it's for a Marvel comic sort of push. I have no idea. But Mike Harmon gave me the tip off to that one when I hosted last. And I wouldn't know if it was Marvel or DC or whoever it was.
No, it's Marvel. Marvel, Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah.
But maybe that's part of it. Maybe that's what they're trying to look for in the future and tie it in that way. I don't know.
What about you, Ramos? Do you like the Guardians nickname? No one likes the Guardians font. Do you? Do you like?
I don't know. Are those wings or like angel wings or what? Is that air blowing by? I don't know what that is on back of the G.
Yeah,
there's a ball and there's a G and then there's like something behind it. I can't tell if it's wings or if it's like air.
It does kind of depict the Wonder Woman wings a little bit. Wouldn't that be?
Maybe it's wings and they're on an invisible plane like Wonder Woman. Maybe it's just an ode to Wonder Woman.
Well, isn't that the Guardian Towers are on the bridge to Cleveland? That's what like, protects the city.
Is that what it
city?
Is? Okay. Yeah. Yes. All right. Well, hey, whatever. I mean, it's not my team. So, that's whatever they want to do. That's fine with them.
Do you like it?
No, I'm actually with Dan, I think Spiders would have been a really kind of cool name, but it's not the end of the world. The Guardians, it's fine.
I mean, yeah, it's pretty bad.
I saw somebody on Twitter right now say names grow on you after a while, so maybe it grows on people.
I'm sure it'll grow on you, but it's still, it's like, eh.
I do like nicknames, though. I mean, just the Cleveland team sounds kind of like boring to me.
Okay, but how about something that has to do with like. Like the Dodgers, though there are no trolleys
That's
in
correct.
LA anymore,
yeah.
They were the Brooklyn Trolley Dodgers, right?
Uh-huh.
That's a great nickname.
Yeah.
With the Trolley Dodgers.
They're dodging the trolleys, yeah.
Dodging the trolleys.
And, of course, Lakers were because of the lakes in Minnesota and stuff
right?
like that.
And the Giants were the New York Giants, right? I got it, and now they were the New York baseball Giants. The Yankees, okay? It is interesting that the Yankees, that's an old term that survives. Okay. So what would be the Cleveland Rockers? Why were the Spiders? Are there like excess amount of spiders in Cleveland? Or is
know.
It just a cool nickname?
I think it's unique. I mean, maybe not so unique because we mentioned Richmond, but I think that there's a lot that you could do with it. I'm all for it.
I like it as well. I'm not saying I'm not in any way disagreeing with you. I actually really like the nickname. I really like spiders. I just don't know if I would like Cleveland Spiders. Like, I don't know. I like things that make sense for the place in which you live.
Yeah. Rockers was kind of cool because that's where the home of the Hall of Fame is.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
That
was,
wasn't that the WNBA team? Weren't they the? I thought they were.
Yeah.
There's got to be something else in Cleveland. Is there anything else in Cleveland?
There's the Christmas Story house. They could have been the Cleveland Ralphies.
What about with the leg?
Yeah, the leg lamps. That's what they could have been.
The Cleveland leg lamps.
Did I ever tell you I went on a tour of that and got left behind by the tour guide?
No.
Yeah, it was the 07 NBA Finals. I had a day off, and in between games 3 and 4, when the Cavs were about to get swept by the Spurs, so I went to the Christmas Story house, middle of summer, and I was the only one there, and I got the tour of the house, and I was looking at everything. Now, the movie basically wasn't filmed inside the house, except when he pulls out the leg lamp. That actually was filmed inside the home, but the exterior and everything was the same. And then I was brought through the kitchen. Then you went into the backyard, you know, where the robbers came out and jumped over the fence, and where Ralphie, you know, shot his BB gun.
Red rifle BB gun.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm in the backyard, and I'm like, oh, wow, this is really cool. And I wanted to go in. And so I turned around and went back up to the back steps. The door was locked, and the tour guide had left and went back across the street. So, like, I was just left in the backyard by myself. I guess I could have, you know, made a barbecue if there would have been a grill, but there was no one that literally, she abandoned me midway through the tour, or I felt that it was done. And so then I just walked across the street and went into the gift shop to see if there was anything to buy.
You're on your own, yeah. Dan.
Yeah, I think what's
even more interesting is there's a gift shop for that movie.
Oh, yeah.
And a tour guide for the home in that movie.
And this was again, 14 years ago now when I did it. And there was another time I went back to Cleveland and in the winter and actually drove past it, and it was pretty busy. But it has become a tourist attraction for that city. Yeah, just like in L.A., when I have family come out from Wisconsin, you try to take them to certain places that they may think are famous, like the Wonder Years house is in Burbank. You could drive past that.
Where's Winnie Cooper's house?
I don't know.
We're really going to get down to it. Where is Winnie Cooper's house?
I used to live in Santa Monica, and we always had a drive past where OJ.
Yeah, where OJ.
Yeah. That was
Bundy, right? Wasn't that on Bundy?
Yeah. Yep.
Do you remember watching that trial? I was a freshman in college. I remember watching that trial. I remember when he got, when he was found not guilty, people running around, the juices loose. We watched it live in my theology class, of all places.
Oh, wow. Our journalism class got called off for it. The professor let us not show up. So then I took advantage and didn't show up for the next 2 weeks. But that's a different story. Different story. But no, he said, all right. He goes, you know what's happening today? Everybody can go home. Go home and watch the verdict. So it's over.
Yes, because there's so much good journalism taking place there, right?
Sure.
That's exactly what happened. All right, so Cleveland Guardians, what happens if they make, do they can make the Chiefs change their name? Did you see that the Arrowhead is they didn't need to tell anybody, but they took the Arrowhead down from Arrowhead Stadium?
I did not know that. No. Yeah. I knew that they had banned the headdress, and they, you know, tried to ban the chant.
Chop,
yeah. I think that they had a drum, and I don't know if the drum is there anymore. I thought maybe they had tried to remove that as well.
It's funny. Kids in 20 years are going to go watch Major League and just be blown away by Chief Wahoo and the Indians, and like, what is this team? I don't even know. It's the Guardians. They used to be the Indians. All right, coming up next. While there's so many that push for long-term, big-money, guaranteed contracts in the NFL, yet another player steps up and says, those aren't a good idea. I'll explain how they said it next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Are you guys familiar with Michael Thomas's contract? So Michael Thomas is a super talented wide receiver, right? We all, that's can't guard Mike, right? Remember his contract that he signed last year? You guys remember the details? Okay. So Michael Thomas signed a deal Last year was the first year of that deal. He made $21 million last year. Okay, this year's deal, in which, again, there was a big signing bonus and a cap hit or whatever, it's only $12.8 million. And then he's guaranteed to get paid for three more years. Now, there's a potential out of the contract with $22.7 million. But if you ever wondered, like, why don't NFL guys get fully guaranteed contracts? Like, here's your reason. Michael Thomas was, if not the best wide receiver in football, in any human being's conversation of the best wide receiver in football coming into last year. I mean, you're talking about plus over 120 receptions on a year. He was the security blanket for Drew Brees. Why can't I speak? Drew Brees. How many catches did he have last year? 40. He played seven games. Half the year. This is a league, very, very simply, right, where they understand you're always one injury away. It's always about your production, and you won't for any reason, there's no reason to give a guy 5, 6, 7 year deal, especially at a skill position where they lose it or they can get hurt. Or, I mean, like, he's going to play seven games last year. He'll be lucky to play seven this year. And then they got to decide if they pick up the rest of his contract. All right, let's get to Dan Byer in the press.
The press.
What do you got, Dan?
Yeah, Doug.
Byer.
Just on the heels of that, no pun intended, on the Michael Thomas injury, that was, if you remember, a week one injury when they had Tampa Bay. And I think it happened late in the game. I don't think that it looked like it was anything where it was so severe. But you remember, you thought that maybe he was going to try to come back. Then he got into a fight with a teammate, and then he re-aggravated. Like, it was something else. And you mentioned he had 40 catches. He did look better later on in the season, but still lingering from that. And yeah, just one of those things. Sometimes you get that ankle injury and you're just maybe never the same. We'll have to see.
Yeah, never the same, but we'll see. Yeah. We shall see.
Yeah, we'll just go along those lines. Long-term extension talks between the Packers and wide receiver Davante Adams have broken off, with the NFL Network saying that Green Bay's offers would not have made Adams the highest paid wide receiver in the game.
Okay. I mean, the ego, I mean, like, look, part of it is the DeAndre Hopkins contract's a bad contract. It's like $7 million more than the next guy. 27, most state guys are at $20 million. So it reminds me a lot of when, remember when Darrelle Revis held out with the Jets because they told him they thought he was the best cornerback in football? He's like, all right, well, I want to be paid like the best. The problem was that there was this terrible contract the Raiders had with Nnamdi Asomugha, and nobody wanted, it was, Darrelle Revis was, you know, everybody else was at 12, and Nnamdi Asomugha was at $16 million a year. It's like, why should we copy that terrible contract? Why should the Packers copy the terrible contract of the Arizona Cardinals, who aren't going to make the playoffs again?
Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy said today the quarterback Dak Prescott will see action in preseason games as he returns from a broken leg.
Yeah, did you see what Dak Prescott said about whether or not he's been vaccinated?
Yes.
It's HIPAA. Yes. Why doesn't anybody know what HIPAA actually is?
I don't know, but if I go any further, I probably will sound like an idiot as well. So
no, it's really easy. Like, if a doctor or a nurse or somebody who has clearance to your medical records cannot share it with anybody else unless you specifically sign something that says you can feel free to share it with a specific person or with anybody you want. That's how HIPAA works. When you're asked first person, are you vaccinated? You don't hide behind HIPAA. You can just say, hey, that's personal. I don't want to. Now, look, I would personally say that it actually, you are the leader of a football team, the highest paid player. You can answer the question because you should be vaccinated. You got coaches getting fired because they don't want to get vaccinated. All you got to do is like, yep, I got vaccinated. I didn't enjoy it, or I don't get vaccinated. Here's why. But hiding behind HIPAA, which is not how HIPAA actually works, makes you sound dumber than you actually are.
Yeah, it is. To that point, yes, you could just say, next question, or it's private, or I just choose not to share. You could do one of those things. You mentioned coaches not getting the vaccine. Rick Dennison of the Minnesota Vikings, their offensive line coach and run game coordinator, refused to receive the vaccine. So he and the team have parted ways. Patriots co-offensive line coach Cole Popovich not going to be with the team because of a vaccine decision, according to ESPN.
Vaccine decision, in other words, his decision was to not. Remember, if you don't get vaccinated, you can't work hand-to-hand with a lot of these players. And plus, you have to go through, and it's expensive. I mean, these are private businesses, and if they, you're at will employee, and if they, you don't want to do a job their way, sorry, man. You know, the Yankees make you cut your facial hair, and NFL teams make you get vaccinated. That's the way it works.
Sportico reports that LeBron James became the first active U.S. team sport athlete to become a billionaire.
It's pretty awesome. Right? Yes. Like, you can disagree with some little things that he's done or whatever. It's pretty awesome. It's like, I've heard people say, you know, well, he doesn't give his own money and he just did state funds for his school. Like, whatever he's done, they have an entire school and they have it funded where kids that go through the school, he's going to put them through college. Like, I don't know. It's pretty hard to find fault with his personal dealings and his personal business. I can think Space Jam 2 is terrible and still go, I respect all that he's done.
I would, if I were LeBron, and I would do this for my last name, if I became a billionaire, my B would be a dollar sign B. Instead of like the S, it would just be the two lines through it with a B. And if you did that with LeBron, just to let everybody know that he is a billionaire. Doug, the opening ceremony, not ceremonies, but the opening ceremony of the Tokyo Games took place earlier today. I know it will air on network TV later on tonight. But Naomi Osaka, the Japanese tennis star, was chosen to light the cauldron during the opening ceremony of the Tokyo Games.
Weird year for her, right? Right, like she had some of her own mental health issues, which she removed herself from the French Open and Wimbledon, and then she bounces back and she's on the cover of Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition, and then she's lighting the cauldron. I mean, clearly she's a crossover success, but it her path to it is really interesting.
I think Hideki Matsuyama was a part of it as well. There were other Japanese stars part of the, you know, torch carrying as they bring it in, but Naomi Osaka was the one who ended up lighting the cauldron. Mets acquired Rays pitcher Rich Hill in a deal today. I think it's I read that it was Rich Hill's 11th team that he is now on.
11 teams.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right. He won't get out of third inning because he'll have a blister on his finger anyway.
It's 11 teams, though. At least you're good enough to be wanted, right? There's that aspect of it. You know, guys who bounce around different leagues, you're good enough to still be in the league, and guys
fair
want
point.
You.
It's a half full or half empty. Yeah. The bad news is he's been on 11 teams. The good news is there have been 11 general managers that have wanted him on their team.
Yeah, I said just a couple of other points on the whole Texas-Oklahoma thing. The Athletic, we mentioned this earlier, reported the remaining 8 schools may reach out to the Pac-12 about forming a 20-school Super League. And one Big 12 school, according to Dennis Dodd of CBSSports.com, says that they've reached out to an outside firm to help them navigate the realignment landscape. And that's
wait. Hold on, wait, yep. Dan. I got word.
Yes,
several Big 12 schools are joining the Athletic. That's what they're doing.
That's a way to end the week. That's a way to end the week.
Impressed.
That was the press.
Are we watching the Olympics this weekend? Is that what we're doing, guys? Is that what you're doing? Byer, you're working this weekend. Is it Olympic
double
coverage?
Dose. Wife wants to watch the opening ceremony tonight, probably. May dive into Ted Lasso, but I won't tweet about it to put the bow on that one.
I watched the first episode of season 2, Ted Lasso. I'm trying to not binge, but I'm also saving some binge stuff for when I have the knee surgery, potentially next week. I'll find out here after the show. So.
Ooh.
Yeah. Table tennis is tomorrow. I'm big on table tennis. Badminton, fencing. Big fencing day tomorrow. Beach volleyball is tomorrow. Kind of feel like we're pretty good at beach volleyball, right? Us and the Brazilians. Rowing tomorrow as well. Have a safe and happy weekend, and we'll see if there's any Big 12 by Monday. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.